for a character for Vacation Bible School. I will have time. I know I'm going to meet with the team leaders, but we'll have time after that. If you have time to stay after church and do the script, we'll be ready for you as well. It should not take that long. Amen. Everyone else, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Any ministry or any believer, anyone that has come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, understands the importance of soul winning. We understand that from being saved, how important soul winning has been to us, how it's not just the avenue to reach us, right? Having someone to share the gospel with us and showing us the grace that they received and how we too can receive that grace, that saving grace. But we've seen how it's changed our lives. We've seen how by somebody taking the message of Jesus and bringing the message to us, how it's not just helped us but and give us eternal life, but how it's improved our lives in such a way that, man, listen, if you're not the type of believer or Christian that doesn't want to share the gospel, listen, you need a heart check. You need a heart check. And I'm not saying you have to be a great soul winner. I'm not a great soul winner. But I don't hesitate when, you know, the opportunity presents itself and I share the gospel. And I make sure, you know, I had the opportunity to talk to Scott there and just make sure he was saved. But he led me through the Romans Road. He wrote a song about it, amen? But I was there with my daughter. Yeah, I was there with my daughter, Harmony, there, because the young lady. And here's the thing. That's the heart of God. And what I mean by that, it's not the act, but that action that takes us closer to the heart of God, which is souls. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God loves souls. God loves people so much that he was willing to sacrifice, to send his Son to die for us. And soul winning is the method, it's the vehicle that God has chosen for us as believers to be like him. What do you mean? If God loves souls, then we in return should love souls. If God loves a sinner, then in return we should love the sinners. You say, what about that person you hate, Pastor? God loves him. I should love them too. And that's tough. But that's what I want to discuss about today, the heart of God. In other words, God desires our salvation is the title of the message. 1 Timothy chapter 2, if you're with me, say amen. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Right? Who saves us, right? Salvation. Who will have all men to be what? Saved. Let me ask you something. That drug addict that's struggling with addiction, does God want him saved? Who will have all men to be saved? That alcoholic? And to come unto the knowledge of the truth. This is the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, right? I want you to see that there are many things as Christians we can debate. We can debate methods. We can debate programs. We can debate doctrine. We can not doctrine, because that's teaching, but we can debate our beliefs. We can debate standards. We can debate strategies. We can debate how to reach people. But I'm going to tell you something we cannot debate, and that's this: that God wants all men to be saved. That includes ladies, so amen, everybody, right? God wants mankind to be saved. We can't debate that. We can't ever look in the Bible and say, you know what? Does God want people to be saved? My friend, God wants people to be saved tonight. I want you to also understand that soul winning didn't begin with a church program. Soul winning didn't begin with a pastor. Soul winning didn't begin with a movement. Can I tell you something? Soul winning didn't even begin at the Great Commission. You think I'm preaching heresy, huh? I'm not. Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which was what? That's before the Great Commission, my friend. Sowing didn't even begin during that time. Sowing began in the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. Before there was a sowing looking for a sinner, guess what? There was a Savior looking for a sinner. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says this, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was what? This is what Jesus came to do. So the question isn't, does God want us to reach people? The question is, does my heart want what God's heart wants? I'm asking you here tonight as you're sitting there, does your heart want what God's heart wants? To see people saved? That people would come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? You know, this is why we have church. So more people can come to this place to know who? Christ. That's what we mean. Start a relationship if they already don't have one. Get saved if you're lost. But guess what? If you're saved already, then grow as a Christian in maturity. Guess what? You got to get to know Christ. This is why we have children's program. This is why we have a youth program. Why? So souls, the souls of men could be saved. Here's my first point I'd like to share with you about God's desires, our salvation. God desires the salvation of every person. We already read that, 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. It says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, right? Who will have all men to be what? Saved. And come unto the knowledge of truth. Paul is writing to the preacher boy, Timothy, about how believers should conduct themselves in the church. And before this statement, guess what Paul instructs? What do you think he instructs before this statement here? He's telling them, Timothy, God does not want anyone to go to hell. He wants everybody to be saved. But can I tell you how to start off with? Go to the next verse. 1 Timothy 2:1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications and what? And intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all. What does he start off with? Prayer. Prayer. Paul is showing Timothy the progression here. He's telling them, hey, look, I'm going to instruct you, not just you, Timothy, but that you instruct the church, that you should pray for the souls of men. You notice, pray for all men. And then what was the, go back to the other verses. Pray for all men. And then what's the progression? That all men should be what? Saved. God desires for men to be saved, for women to be saved, for children to be saved. Amen? You say, well, Pastor, what about presidents and kings? Are they part of all men? Yeah. Doesn't matter what party. Amen. Man, I'm trying to go somewhere here. Understand this. If God desires the salvation to every person, shouldn't we have the same desire? Regardless of their political view? Regardless of their background? Regardless of their upbringing? Regardless of their status in the world? Should we not want what God wants for them? We should have the same desire. And that's what? To see people saved. We're not talking about action. I'm not talking about religious duty or activity. That's not what I'm talking about. The desire. I'm not talking about attendance. I'm not talking about another number on a report. I'm talking about the desire to see souls saved. That's different. This is not for show. This is for real. As real as you and those of us that are saved and I are going to heaven. That real. You and I are sinners saved by grace, and all we're trying to do is deliver a message of that grace that saved us. Amen? Why? Because God wants us saved. God wants to see our souls in heaven. I want you to understand that in some cultures, amen, Christianity is not looked toward friendly. I mean, I think in China and Iran, you hear these stories, even in Ethiopia, of Christians being beheaded. In China, not so much beheaded, but they're closing down the underground churches because communism is God. So you can't have faith in God because they understand people will revolt. There's faith. There's hope. That's why communism is not good, okay? Not to get into politics, but those of us trying to invite, I'm not trying to invite socialists to come to Texas. Stay over there, amen? Don't come over here. Here's the thing, because that's how communism comes in. You no longer have a choice. If I tell you got to believe this way, you have no choice. And I'm going to tell you there are some countries that are not friendly toward Christians or Christianity, but here, Paul's saying, pray for all men. Communists? Yep, them commies. Yeah. You say, Pastor, why? Because God's love is not restricted to a group of people. See, God wants the rich to be saved as much as the poor. Amen? God wants the young to be saved as much as the elders. Follow me? God wants the men to be saved as much as the women. God's love is not restricted to a certain group of people. God wants the person that's sitting beside you, the person that's sitting behind you, the person that's sitting in front of you to be saved. You notice the wording here? Who will have all men saved? 1 Timothy 2:3, right? Who will have all men to be saved? What does that mean? Right? Where's God's heart pointed to? Towards salvation to who? Mankind, humanity. We're worried about our bills. I mean, let's be realistic, man. You can't take those, praise the Lord, in heaven. That's where there's going to be no tax, praise the Lord. Amen? No tax, amen? Government will not be your partner in crime anymore, praise the Lord. The reality is that God here is saying, hey, you know what? I want humanity to be saved. God wants people to be saved. And if God wants people to be saved, shouldn't his people, us Christians, want people to be saved? Some of you have family members that are unsaved. Some of you have coworkers that are unsaved. Some of you, your associations or your childhood friends that you grow around, or even family members, are unsaved. Guess what, my friends? If God wants them to be saved, shouldn't we have the same desire? Amen? Soul winning is not just about increasing attendance, like I said before. All it is really agreeing with God's heart. That's all it is. And if you and I go knocking on a door, you know what we're saying to people? Hey, God cares about you. When you and I give somebody a track, hey, we're just saying, hey, look, let me tell you about the person that loves you. That's all we're doing. Because God wants to see people saved. God hasn't forgotten about people, amen? And there's a Savior who wants to get to know you. That's what it's about. Can you imagine a child losing a puppy and the dad goes to him and says, hey, it's okay, you know, it's not a big deal, it's just a puppy. But to that child, he's like, no, it's more than that, Dad. It belongs to me. So then the dad would, more than likely if he's a decent dad, would say, all right, let's go looking for that dog. They'll go looking for that puppy at the neighbors, maybe at the back of the yard, maybe at the lake, maybe it drowned, I don't know. But they'll go looking at that, sorry. They'll go looking at for that puppy, and they finally find the puppy. It was in the front porch. As a young boy sees the puppy, he gets excited. He hugs it. Why? Why do you think that young boy is going to hug that puppy? Because he cares about it. It belongs to him. That's the illustration with God. You have to understand, many of us, when we're out soul winning, we don't go soul winning because somebody's rich. We don't go soul winning because somebody's going to come to our church. We don't go soul winning necessarily because we need more families for the building fund. The reality is this. The Bible is talking about that there are people that might not be physically lost like that puppy, but spiritually those people are lost. And there is someone who cares about those people's lost soul, and his name is God. And because God cares, we should care. That father didn't care about the puppy, but he cared because his son cared. Follow me? As Christians, I'm not saying we're a father. I'm saying we should care because God cares about the lost, about those that are spiritually without hope. And God cares about them, so we ought to care. Church, listen to me. We're not going after souls again because of a number. We're going because God wants them saved. That's it. Plain and simple. There are some people in your community that you can reach that Pastor Rivera won't be able to reach. But you know what? They need somebody to go after them. God wants them saved. God wants her saved. God wants him saved. God wants these young people. But can I say something? The devil says, hey, they're gone too far. They're not important. And you know what God says? It's okay. I want them saved. The devil might say, they'll never change. They struggle with the same sin over and over and over again. And God says, it's okay. I want them saved. Amen. I'm thankful for a God like that. The devil might say, hey, you know what? Just leave them alone. But the heart of God is saying, hey, he's crying out, go get them. Hey, go tell them about me. Hey, go bring them the gospel because I want them to be saved. Here's the second point I'd like to share with you. Not only does God desire the salvation of every person, but God does not want the sinner to perish. How many of you here this evening, or if you consider yourself a sinner, raise your hand. Amen. That's all of us. Amen. You say, Pastor, I'm saved. Yes, by grace. Amen. We're still sinners, right? 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack. Oh, I love this passage because people are giving Peter a difficult time in the church. They're saying, see, God can't keep his promise. He said he was going to return, and look, he's taking forever. That's the context of this. And so Peter, here's the answer for those people that are naysayers, doubters, because Jesus is taking his time. He's trying to let them know, look, he's patient. He's long-suffering, right? The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. In other words, that's Jesus is keeping his word, okay? It's not what you think, that he can't keep his promise. But is long-suffering to us ward. What does that mean? He's patient towards us. Not willing that any, for what reason is he patient? Not willing that any should what? Perish. But that all should come to what? Repentance. Jesus is taking his time, probably. But what you need to understand is that he's patient. But why is he patient, Peter? Because he doesn't want to lose one single soul. He wants everyone to be saved. That's why. My friends, Jesus might not be here yet. And he hasn't come yet. But you know what we should be doing? If Jesus is patient with people, man, we should probably be patient with that person that we've probably tried to witness to thousands of times. I mean, Jesus is long-suffering. Why are we not? Hey, that wayward teenager parent that you're struggling with, if Jesus is patient and long-suffering towards them, maybe, just maybe, we should be patient and long-suffering. I'm not saying condoning sin. I'm saying continuously feeding them the gospel. If there's someone that's lost or someone that doesn't want anything to do with God, can I tell you something? They need some people that are godlike, that have this godlike character of being patient. They don't need somebody to criticize them. They don't need somebody to kick them down when they're down. Here, God is long-suffering. Why? Because souls matter to him. They matter to him so much that he doesn't want to get this over with, like you and I. Right now, some of you are like, oh, we got to go. It's okay. You got to exit right there. You got to exit over there. Amen. I'm not stopping you. But here's the truth. Are you patient? Do you have a love for souls like God does? Here's more importantly. Do you have a love for what God says in his word? Or you think you've heard everything? We need to get to a place where we need to understand, you know what? Some people, the way I am, I guess, with some of you. Amen. You won't respond the first time, amen? I've got to be patient, you know? I can't be critical. I can't be judgmental. I can't. Sometimes I'm like, man, why not? Why haven't they figured it out yet? What's taking so long? But you know what? That's my flesh. Who cares what I think? That flesh needs to be pushed to the side. What does the Spirit say? Be patient. The same way I've been patient with you, be patient. The same way I've showed mercy towards you, have mercy. Amen. Here's the thing. Some people won't respond the second time either. I've seen it. Some people even reject the gospel. But you know what God is doing in their heart. Amen. What's the next verse? 1 Corinthians. Is that what we have? First, yeah. 3:6. This is Paul saying, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the what? But God gave the what? You know what a good teacher does? Kind of like the same what a good preacher does. A good teacher will work with a student that might not be all there. And I'm not saying, you know, some students are not all there because they're dumb. I'm just saying they're just not all there because they don't get it yet. Sometimes, as a teacher, you have to be patient with students until they get it. That's a good teacher. A good teacher is not going to just mark them off and avoid them, amen? Mark them. That caused dissension in the math class. Amen? No, you're going to look at them, you're going to love them where they're at, and you're going to be patient with them. Man, why doesn't she get it? Or why doesn't he get it? Well, a good teacher will be patient and then ask questions and try to resolve the conflict, right? Why are they not getting it? Well, you have to understand that's how God is. You have to be patient with the souls of men. You have to be patient with people. You say, Pastor, why? Because some people need more opportunities than just one. Some of us need opportunities after opportunities after opportunities to be molded and to become what God wants us to become. Some of you are trying to run a race, but this is not a relay race. It's a marathon. This takes forever. Enjoy the journey, but you can't enjoy it. Sometimes we get a little selfish. And God here is giving an opportunity after opportunity. See, somebody needs to realize that the patience of God is what we need in our marriages. The patience of God is what we need in our parenting. The patience of God is what we need in our maturity as Christians when we grow. That's what we need, patience. God's not always going to answer our prayers the way we want to. We're not always going to be used the way we want to in a ministry. And can I say something? Here's the thing. You might have walked away from God. I might have walked away from God. But guess what? He hasn't walked away from you because he's patient. You might have ignored his voice, but guess what? God is still calling you. Why? Because he's patient. You may have rejected the invitation, but guess what God is willing to do? While you're there on that medical bed, about to get surgery, he's willing to give you another opportunity. My friends, you and I probably have slammed the door on God many times, and sometimes out of ignorance, sometimes on purpose. We know what we're doing. But God says, you know what? We might say, God, not today, but God says, it's okay. I'm patient. I'll give you another day. I'm thankful for God's patience. I'm thankful for God's long suffering. Why? Because God is not willing that any should perish. God's mercy is buying each and every one of us time. His long suffering, his patience is buying us another opportunity. And church, can I tell you something? God is patient with sinners. So we should be patient with sinners. Amen? Here's the third point. If you're still with me, say amen. God wants the sinner to turn and live. Turn and live. Ezekiel 18:23 says, I love this. Okay, anyways, I'm sorry. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? Now, the context of this is Ezekiel, the prophet, is talking to the middle class Jews there by the river of Kabar. And this is the working class. Daniel's with the higher class, those that have rank and status, so to speak. And Jeremiah's with the ones that are left, the remnant, the poor back at Jerusalem. But here, Ezekiel is preaching to this working class people that are not willing to take responsibility for their action. They're not willing to take responsibility for their behavior. So what they're telling Ezekiel in the context of this, you got to read it in chapter 18. They're complaining and they're griping about generations before them. They're griping and complaining about the previous generations, about how it's their fault now why Israel is in the condition that she's in. That it's their fault why spiritually they're not where they need to be. And can I tell you something? We need to stop making excuses. We need to stop making excuses. And Ezekiel is trying to get them to realize and say, hey, take the responsibility. He's like, stop blaming the generations to come. Understand that God here is showing them this. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Do you think God wants the wicked to die? No, he doesn't have pleasure. He's not delighted in that. And he's saying, my desire is that they return from his ways and what? You don't think that's my desire? You don't think I want them? He says, and not that he should return from his ways and live? You think I want people that are wicked to die in their condition? And he's trying to explain to these people that God isn't looking for an excuse to destroy the sinners. God's not looking for people that continue doing wrong and then say, oh, okay, I knew you guys were worthless. Let me destroy you. No, he's saying, look, I want them to repent. I want them to return from their ways and live. I want them to move from their wicked ways. And my friends, here's the thing. This is the important truth about soul winning. We don't preach because we hate sinners. That's not what preaching is about. We preach because we love sinners. That's why we preach the message of grace. So we can turn from our ways and what? Live. Because that's what he enjoys. He's not trying to destroy us. He's not trying to point out the wrong. That's not what this is about. And Ezekiel is trying to get the people to understand, man, you're stuck in your wicked ways. Take accountability on how you responded to God, because God's not trying to destroy you. God's telling you this, it's for you. It's not to you. And man, we live in a day and age where we can pinpoint, not just everyone's fault, but we can pinpoint things that we don't agree with, and it just doesn't sit right, and it's normal to us. Regardless of a relationship that I built maybe for like 5-10 years, just to destroy it in 5 seconds. Some people are like that. Now, I say myself because I don't want to offend people, amen, if you're in this room. But I can't understand that. I can't understand that. People get a thrill to try to destroy others. It's like what is it? It's a drug. Yeah, thank you, Brother Munda. Amen. I knew you were paying attention, amen. A drug. It's almost like a high. Thank you. It's like a euphoric feeling. Yes. And it's not like in your face type of thing, Ms. Shante. They won't tell you in your face. It's never like that. It's over here in the sneaky, over here in the corner, in the dark, where the lights don't work. Because that's where you can pet your sin. But I'm thankful that God's not that way. Because there's a lot of people that are that way. That they use the Bible to... They try to be the Holy Spirit and do the Holy Spirit job, amen? Try to convict you, amen? And it's like, bro, I got the Bible too, amen? I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit. Thank you. I don't need you to pastor me. You ever been around people like that? Yeah? No? They don't agree with you? Like, and you're like, back to you, amen? It's one of those things like, man, where are you at? The children of Israel right here in Ezekiel, this is what was happening. They didn't realize, hey, you're a sinner too. You're trying to blame the previous generation because of your spiritual condition. But understand, they're not going to be held accountable for what you're doing now, how you respond to God now. People don't get it. We're all sinners saved by grace. We all are sinners saved by grace. Guess what? Trying to help other sinners find that grace. Is that so wrong? And you know what? Here's the truth. Some of you just don't know better. I could work with that. But some of you know better. Some of you know better. And here's the thing. You choose to continue on. That's a problem. The soul winner cares both about the truth and about compassion, loving the people like God cares about the truth and loving people. If the road, imagine if you're walking down the road with your child, I don't know, your favorite child, I don't know if y'all have those, amen, I don't, children, I don't. But if it just so happened I did have a favorite child, amen, and I was walking with that child, so that's why we say children, down that road, as a parent, as someone that loves his children, if I see the sign ahead saying bridge is out, or if I see a sign that says danger ahead, and I'm walking down this path and I see the sign, I'm going to try to turn around and avoid it. And if I see my child walk towards it, what would a loving parent do? They go grab their hand and say, hey, we're not going to walk that way. Am I right? We're not going to say, yes, I can't wait. Man, I wonder if a mama bear is going to come over there and just rip her apart. Oh, rip him apart. I don't have a favorite, amen? Oh, I can't wait. That sounds obnoxious, right? So why do we act that way? You find out somebody's going through financial trouble? Oh, yeah. They have sin in their life. What? No, you have sin in life. That's why you're projecting that. Obviously, that's your conscience. That's how you think. You have sin in your life, so you're thinking that's how it works. It doesn't work that way. God's testing different people different ways. You're not God. Thank God you're not God. Amen. Praise the Lord, you're not God. But some of us make the mistake that we know more than God. And my friends, the point of that thing is this. If I love somebody, I'm going to grab their hand and I'm going to heed to that warning. That's what soul winning is. It's warning people, hey, if you continue living in the lost condition, you're going to hell. If you continue avoiding the gospel and rejecting Jesus, you're going to be condemned for eternity. Warning, warning, danger. If you love somebody, this is not for show. This is the love and the gratitude we have towards God and what he's done in our life. And my friends, we need to be real about this. God wants souls to be saved. Hey, that teenager, he wants that soul. That businessman you can't stand, he wants that soul. That neighbor that's cranky, he wants that soul. That homeless man that you just pass by every time, for us it was Crackhead Joe, amen? Sorry, I was a bad kid growing up. I was bad growing up. I had him do a lot of things. Sorry, I'm going back. But he wants that soul. And the thing about it is the devil just wants to destroy everybody. Sin is what enslaves everybody. And hell wants to claim that soul. So what do you think we should do? Tonight, here's the thing. What will we do with God's heart? Here's the first one. God wants them saved. Second one, God waits for them to repent. Third one, God warns them to turn and live. Bow your head. Close your eyes. I want to ask you this. If God is patient with people, if God is patient with those souls, my question is, will we be patient with them? Pastor, what is it that you are asking? Here's what I'm asking. Can we make a decision tonight to love people the way God loves them? And I want to ask you three things. Pray for one, reach one, and bring one. Pray for one. Put one lost person's name on your heart this week. Pray for their salvation every day this week. Second thing, I want you to reach one. Find an opportunity to personally give that person the gospel. Don't just say, I'll pray for you. Tell them why you're praying for them. Tell them about Jesus. And then the third one, bring them. Bring one. Invite them to church. Give them a gospel tract. Bring them under the sound of the word of God. Pray, reach, and bring. As the piano plays, maybe perhaps God has put a lost person in your mind. Maybe he's put it in your heart. Hey, you know what, wives? It might be your husband that's lost tonight. Amen? Husband, it might be that your wives are lost tonight. Maybe, parents, it's your child that's lost. Children, maybe it's your parents that are lost. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. But here's the truth. If God is pursuing that soul, shouldn't you and I pursue that soul? Especially the people we know. I think if you go to Mr. Taco, the guy will tell you how sick and tired he is, not of my business, but inviting him to church and trying to speak to him about Jesus. Amen. It's not for show. It's just God is pursuing, I know, after that young man's heart. And I'm praying for him every day. And I'm saying, God, we're getting a little bit closer, God. He seems like a good kid. It seems like he has dreams. But here's the truth. What good is all that if he loses his soul? What good is it if he loses his soul? My friends, today, God is giving you another opportunity. Today, God is giving you an opportunity. You say, Pastor, why? Because Jesus died for your sins. That's why. His son was buried, and he rose again. So, does your heart, does my heart break for what God's heart breaks for souls? Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, Lord. Personally, Lord, I pray that my heart would break for what your heart breaks for. And that my heart would love for what your love, I mean, for what your heart loves. And Heavenly Father, the honest truth, Lord, I know we can all do better. And I know it's not a competition. It's an obedience. It's an alignment to your heart. It's a tenderness and a willingness to be teachable, to be adaptable, Lord, to your desires. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask, Lord, that you would give us a heart for the lost. Heavenly Father, this week I pray that you would not just put the name of someone in everyone's heart here this evening, but that you would put a name in my heart, Lord, for someone that's lost. Because, Heavenly Father, we need help. Jesus, we need your help. And that's a way that I know you can help us as well, Lord. And I just pray that we would use that opportunity to bring someone to you.